You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to pursue sound doctrine, to discern truth and error, and to become faithful disciples of Christ, because life and truth matter. This is a live program, and we invite your calls. So dial toll-free 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Yeah, thank you very much, Randy. Do remember always that you can contact us via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And remember that we have a brand new edition of the Christian Research Journal available for you. You can acquire your copy by subscribing on the web at equip.org. The cover story of the current edition of the Christian Research Journal, The Word Crisis That Threatens to Undo Western Civilization. That's a mouthful. But the truth is that Christians are caught today in the crosshairs of a virulent linguistic pandemic. It's a crisis of word, a crisis that has flowered into semantic terrorism. It's a virulent pandemic. Candidates for the highest office in this land routinely now castigate those who stand in opposition to their redefinition of words. They're labeled intolerant, hateful, ignorant, xenophobic, and an imminent and existential threat to the noble quest for a progressive future. Consider, for example, the redefinition of the word marriage. In same-sex marriage, the authors correctly forward the notion that marriage has at all times and in all societies been a relationship between men and women. That marriage exists because of the dual gender distinct nature of our very humanity. And that the connection between marriage and procreation is more than just incidental. They note that in contrary opinion, Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy holds that marriage, as historically defined, fosters ill will and animosity. In his considered opinion, anyone who embraces the historical definition of marriage, thus excluding same-sex couples, does so out of hate and animus. Justice Kennedy's opinion highlights the very danger of redefining words. Why? Because virtually every redefinition of marriage, including his own, excludes someone, siblings, the polygamous, the underage, etc. But is this due to hate or to common sense? If marriage means everything, in the end, it may well mean nothing at all. As Margie Gallagher has rightly noted, social institutions like marriage are created, sustained, and transmitted by words and the images, symbols, and feelings that surround words. Change the meaning of the word, and you change the thing itself. For example, if you redefine the word cat to mean furry domestic animal with four legs and a tail, it becomes quite difficult to know whether you're talking about a cat, a dog, or something else. If we want to speak to each other about cats, we'll either have to invent a new term and hope it's still communicates the full valence of the old world, or we'll just have to do without a word for cat at all. One might reasonably foresee without charting all the particular specific mechanisms that it might become harder to communicate an idea for which we no longer have any word. The redefinition of the word marriage is hardly, therefore, a trifling matter. It's emblematic of the twilight of a once logocentric and great civilization. Think about just three of the redefinition examples that you'll find in the article that I alluded to, The Word Crisis That Threatens to Undo Western Civilization. First, Madonna's desire to convince Pope Francis of a pro-choice Jesus, another Jesus, a Jesus leading pro-abortion advocacy in the 21st century. A second example, San Francisco Board of Supervisors, their attempt to redefine convict, felon, prisoner, and juvenile delinquent as a virulent racism that targets justice-involved persons. Wow. And then one more example he gives, a historic Christian seminary's redefinition of God, prayer, repentance, and chapel, inclusive of neo-pantheistic worship, prayer, and repentance directed towards plants. In the article, Matthews points out, as with objective morality and truth, words are now persuasively and opportunistically defined, redefined, and used in relativistic and sometimes weaponized fashion. While semantic equivocation, verbal seduction, and manipulative word games are hardly original, seldom have they been employed with such enthusiasm as they are now being employed. In fact, even Bible translators have left a mark on the toxic word redefinition crisis that I'm talking about. And no clearer example could be given than Eugene Peterson. In 1 Corinthians 6:9 of his message, Peterson refrains from using the word homosexuals, opting instead to insert the politically correct phrase, use and abuse each other. Use and abuse sex. Of course, not even practicing homosexuals can find fault with Peterson's reframing of the biblical text. Why do I say that? Well, because they quite obviously do not consider homosexuality an abuse of sex. From their perspective, it is simply an alternative lifestyle. So make no mistake, as the article Seduced underscores, we are in the midst of a virulent linguistic crisis. So long after the COVID-19 crisis has receded from our memories, this battle will continue to ravage our futures. And thus, as I so often put it, we can curse the darkness, or we can build a lighthouse in the midst of the gathering storm. And so articles such as Seduced, along with other timely articles in this issue of the Christian Research Journal, are designed to do just that. As such, reading this issue cover to cover is bound to equip you with new heights of perspective and new depth of understanding. It will provide you with new insights as well as new ways of seeing, and that is so very, very important. My point here is you ought to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. You ought to enjoy it. And as you do, receive my thanks for standing shoulder to shoulder with me and with the Christian Research Institute in the battle for life and truth. Why? Because truth matters and life matters more. Also, when you go to the web, you'll see many other fantastic articles. You'll also see the resource of the month, Never Give Up, by my friend K.P. Yohannan. He's the metropolitan of some 12,000 churches in the 1040 window, many of those churches in India and Myanmar, hospital, seminaries, all kinds of work that's being done to help the downtrodden. But this is a book which chronicles the story of a broken man impacting his generation. The book is available for your support of the ministry. Check it out on the web at equip.org, or as I said at the outset, write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. When we come back from the breaks, I'll go directly to your calls. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK.
God brings certain books and people into our lives precisely when we need them. Never Give Up is one of those books, and K.P. Yohannan is one of those people. Never Give Up is the perfect book for this precise moment in history. To receive your copy of Never Give Up, The Story of a Broken Man Impacting a Generation by K.P. Yohannan, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches during the financially critical month of June. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man will return in just a few moments. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.
We've seen good times and hard times, but nothing quite like these times. The consequences of the coronavirus pandemic and massive urban unrest have been nothing short of shocking. In such times, people desperately need hope and courage. God brings certain books and people into our lives precisely when we need them. Never Give Up is one of those books, and K.P. Yohannan is one of those people. Through times of trial, we come to know what it truly means to know Christ. Simply put, Never Give Up, The Story of a Broken Man Impacting a Generation, is the perfect book for this precise moment in history. To receive your copy of Never Give Up, The Story of a Broken Man Impacting a Generation, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. Now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Let's go to the phone lines, talk to Timothy in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Timothy.
Hello, Hank. It's good to talk to you again.
Nice to talk to you.
My question was, a few years ago, you did a monologue on Black Lives Matter. I was wondering if you had any more research done on it since. You mentioned that on their website, they mentioned that they wanted the dissolution of the nuclear family. I wish I'd gone and looked for it then, but I went on it today looking for it. I couldn't find it. So I was just wondering if you had any thoughts about that. And also, real quick, since your conversion to the Orthodox Church, has that impacted your viewpoint as far as the Apocalypse, your book, The Apocalypse Code? Have you made any changes on the basis of that?
No, not really. My views on the Book of Revelation and the key to reading apocalyptic literature in general is still the same, and it coheres very, very well with what the early church fathers believed.
Okay.
Yeah. In terms of Black Lives Matter, obviously the phrase Black Lives Matter is not problematic in and of itself because Black lives do matter. In fact, the lives of everyone created in the image and likeness of God matter. And this is why Christianity was in the vanguard of overthrowing the slavery ethic that had plagued the world even since the time of Jesus Christ. So the Christian ethic is against slavery and is against the abuse of people on the basis of pigmentation or skin color. The problem is not, therefore, with the phrase Black Lives Matter, but certainly is with the organization. The organization itself is a revolutionary organization that has very clear Marxist leanings. Even the language that they use points in that direction. Well, language like, and I'm reading this from their website as we speak, we engage comrades, and they're committed to a massive redistribution of wealth and, in essence, overthrowing Western civilization. So in addition to this demand for redistribution of wealth, they're calling for collective ownership of resources, hugely progressive income tax reforms, guaranteed minimum income, and so forth. In terms of what they're saying with respect to the nuclear family, as I'm speaking, I'm looking at it. It says, we disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure. But that's pretty clear. We foster a queer-affirming network. When we gather, we do so with the intention of freeing ourselves from the tight grip of heteronormative thinking. Another place on the website. We're self-reflexive and do the work required to dismantle cisgender privilege and uplift trans folk, especially Black trans women who continue to be disproportionately impacted by trans antagonistic violence. Now, in addition to all of this, they purposely distort metrics, statistics, and reality. And in the process, what they're doing is hurting the very people that they propose to help. And unfortunately, because we live in an age of information overload, where people really don't ponder realities and do not ponder the consequences of their actions, there are so many people being sucked into this very, very tenuous umbrella of violence without knowing what they're being sucked into. So this is a very, very significant issue. And there's no question whatsoever that this organization is dangerous. Not only dangerous in the way that I have just described, but think about the Judeo-Christian tradition, which is the backbone of Western civilization. They are in the process of seeking to undo that. So they're seeking the demise of the Judeo-Christian tradition. And people ought to know that.
Well, you know, Hank, like I said, when you talked about this years ago, you really did inspire me to look at this from a biblical worldview. And I thank God that you're still with us. I miss our brother Ravi and brother RC. I miss them. But I thank God that you're still with us. You're all treasures to me, and you've helped me grow up my Christian walk. And God bless you and CRI, and I stand with you prayerfully and financially.
Thank you so much, Timothy. It is just a delight and a pleasure to talk to you.
All right, God bless you, brother.
Thank you. You too. Julian in Vancouver, British Columbia, listening on KARI. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call. I'm going to have to replay your thing, your show today. You've just been dropping bombs like crazy there on that last talk with Timothy. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes, wonderful. So my question is on two prophecies, one when the Jews were scattered and one when they're brought back. And in John 10:11, it describes as Jesus as the shepherd. And in Luke 21, or in Matthew 26:31, it describes Jesus as the shepherd. And in Zechariah 13:7, it talks about the sword being raised up against the shepherd, which is Jesus, and the children will be scattered. And in Hosea 6:1-2, it talks about a three-day prophecy starting when the sheep are scattered, and the end of the second day on the prophecy of 6:1-2 of the three-day prophecy, the end of the second day is 2030. In my estimation, is 2030. I'm wondering if you are following me on that, and what are your thoughts?
Yeah, my thoughts are that you have to learn to read the Bible in its historical context. Now, I'll give you one example that's easy to understand. It isn't quite related to what you're asking about, but it'll help make the point and set up the rest of the discussion. Think of Ezekiel. Ezekiel is prophesying at a particular point in time. He's in exile. He's in the south of Babylon near the Kibar River. And when he's prophesying, he's looking, as it were, into the future at a time when the temple will be rebuilt. Now, a lot of people are talking about that temple being not a second temple, but a third or a fourth temple. But if you look at Ezekiel in its historical context, Ezekiel's in exile, and he's looking forward to a time when the second temple will be rebuilt. He's just left Jerusalem. He's seen its slaughter and its ruin and the destruction of the temple. So he's looking forward to the time when Zerubbabel and Ezra and Nehemiah are going to rebuild Jerusalem and its temple. He couldn't be looking forward to a third or fourth temple because the second temple hadn't come into existence yet. So he's looking into the future, but he's looking from a particular time perspective. And if you look at the prophets from that perspective, you'll start to realize what Daniel's dealing with, or what Zechariah is dealing with, or what Haggai is dealing with, You'll start to realize that their prophecies are fixed to a point in time. So Zechariah, for example, is looking forward to a time frame not in the modern world in 2030 or 2020, but rather looking forward to a time frame that has already passed. So the whole idea of reading Zechariah in the sense that two-thirds of the Jews are going to be slaughtered in a Holocaust that takes place in the future simply does not cohere with the text. Looking at a time when that happens in fulfillment of prophecy, which has happened, which demonstrates that the Bible is the Word of God, and also to a final future in which there's going to be vindication and liberation for the people of God. So again, the prophets have to be read rightly within the right historical context, or else we're going to project their visions into 2030, and that would be wrong. Out of time, be back tomorrow with more.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We've seen good times and hard times, but nothing quite like these times. The national and global ravages of the coronavirus pandemic have been nothing short of shocking. In such times, people desperately need hope and courage. Never Give Up, the story of a broken man impacting a generation by K.P. Yohanan, is the perfect book for this precise moment in history. To receive your copy of Never Give Up, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches during the financially critical month of June. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters, and life matters more.
We've seen good times and hard times, but nothing quite like these times. The consequences of the coronavirus pandemic and massive urban unrest have been nothing short of shocking. In such times, people desperately need hope and courage. God brings certain books and people into our lives precisely when we need them. Never Give Up is one of those books, and K.P. Yohanan is one of those people. Through times of trial, we come to know what it truly means to know Christ. Simply put, Never Give Up, the story of a broken man impacting a generation, is the perfect book for this precise moment in history. To receive your copy of Never Give Up, the story of a broken man impacting a generation, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.